We indeed are grateful for the grace that God not only extended to us when we came to know Him as Savior, but since then. We live by grace. Everything we have is because of His marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. What a wonderful Lord. If you turn to Ephesians again, I'll look at chapter 1, starting verse 3, through verse 6 as we think together this morning. About living in God's blessings. We talked about that. We sung about that. I want to take this time to think about that a little more, about living in the blessings God's given us. We celebrate those blessings. One of those is one we're right now experiencing, all the rain. Thank you, Lord, for all that rain. So we're grateful. He's allowed us to get through, looks like, another year without a fire in our area. And I'm grateful for that. That's a blessing. And every year that I get through this time and my well still got water in it, I say, thank you, Lord, for watering the well. Sometimes we forget that because it could dry, you know, with dry weather. So those are just some of the major blessings we all experience. So let's think about this. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. We just sang about that grace. So let's think about some things about living in this blessing. There are many blessings we have along the way. Of course, in my mind, the biggest blessing is knowing I've been born again, my sins are forgiven, and I'm going to heaven. Out of that has come all the other blessings. So let's think about living in those blessings. First of all, if you got your outline out, which I encourage you to do, you can write in, praise God that all blessings come through Jesus. Praise God that all blessings come through Jesus. Give you a chance to write that in. Sometimes somebody told me I talk too fast. Don't give you a chance to write down, so you can give you a chance to write that down. But in verse 3, he talked about, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So all that God has available to us is made available to us because of our connection in Christ Himself, in the relationship to Jesus, in knowing Him as Savior, in following Him and obeying Him and living that out. I think I mentioned last week, but I encourage you to read through this passage of Scripture in Ephesians, how many times it talks about in Christ, in Him, in His power. And one commentator, I think, said there are 40 times in Ephesians where it says something about in Him, in His power, in Christ. So the connection is in Jesus. In other words, if I want God's blessings, I want to know the joy of the Lord, I have to come to Christ, to know Jesus. I know for all of us it's probably something we've thought about, know about, but I hope we don't ever forget that. That all we have that is delightful and meaningful in the life of, that we enjoy in a Christian life is because Jesus Christ is our connection point. Everything comes to us from God the Father and through the Holy Spirit where we connect through Jesus, knowing Him, loving Him, trying to follow Him in our lifetime. Because we not only come to Jesus initially by faith, but we want to live with Jesus. In fact, I have described the relationship to Christ like that getting married. You say to a person, will you marry me? And you agree, but you don't know all that you're agreeing to. Because when you start living that relationship out, you discover things you didn't know. You discover relationships. And I've discovered that even though we've been married a long time, which my wife and Karen and I have been married over 55 years, I still every once in a while she says something. I say, you do what? You think, and I don't, you think I ought to know her by now, but I don't. There's still things I discover. So the joy is that when I walk with Jesus, I'm discovering who He is. how to relate to Him, how to please Him, how to make Him happy, how to obey Him, how to follow Him. And the longer I serve Him, the more I discover there's more to be done, more to learn, more to know about who Jesus is. So I praise God that I have a connection to God the Father and all that God has in His Son, Jesus Christ. That He came, He's willing to live here as He did, to die on the cross as He did, to be raised again, to be ascended to heaven, and coming back someday. All that's wrapped up in Jesus. So He talks about blessed. This starts with a praise and adoration of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice He connects the two. Father and Jesus, and of course, Holy Spirit is involved as well. But He talks about this relationship in Jesus. And so my desire is, I want to learn to walk with Jesus better and better and better every day. That involves the Word, that involves prayer, that involves all the other things involved in that. So I praise God that all blessings that I'm going to get come through Jesus. So if anybody wants the blessings of God, the real blessings of God, they've got to come in Christ. To receive Him as Savior and Lord, begin to live with Him and for Him. And then they'll be available to us. How many other blessings, by the way, are available to us in Jesus? All of them. So the next thing that I want to think about is come to Jesus for the blessing of being God's chosen. Come to Jesus for the blessing of being God's chosen. I'll explain to you what I'm thinking about in that. In verse 4, he said, the first part of verse 4 says, just as He chose us in Him. And in verse 5, He said, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. What I'm suggesting is this. God decided ahead of time that everybody who would come through Jesus would be His own child, would know Him, would be saved. So there are those who sometimes say that God picked out certain ones. He said, you and you and you are going to be saved, and you are not. That's not what He's saying here. What is He saying? He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ Himself. That all who receive Jesus will belong to Him. That's what His predetermined was. That all who accept Him as Savior and Lord, all who would come and choose Jesus, become God's chosen. And I'm glad that God gives us every person the opportunity to be chosen. The Scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. But what does that begin? What does that say in the very beginning? As many as what? As received Him. Did it say only 50% who come? What did it say? As many as received Him. As many as will come, He gives the right to become a child of God. And in that coming to Jesus, there's a spiritual transformation that says we're born of God. We're transformed. Jesus said in John chapter 3, we have to be born again. This spiritual transformation takes place. It's not something we do for ourselves, but it's something we receive. Because when we receive Jesus, He bursts us into the family of God. He begins a new relationship. And so I want to come to Jesus and be one who's received the blessings, because I'm chosen, because I've chosen the chosen one. Does that make any sense? I want you to understand that. So, today, what I'm saying in this is the blessings of God are available to every person who will receive Him. He wants to belong, all of us who will, to belong to Him. The Scripture indicates that He died for every person, not just for some. When He died on the cross, as I read Scripture, it says He took the sins of the whole world, of everybody from beginning to end, into Himself and died for every human being. And as many as will receive Him, will accept Him, will yield to Him, He is available to all. And I'm glad you don't have to have a certain degree or live a certain place or have a certain economic level or be a certain race or any other thing. That just everybody. Jesus invites to come, to know Him and to be born again and to enter into this chosen relationship with those who believe in Him. Being born again. Isn't it wonderful to know you're born again? You're born of God by faith in Christ. It's not something you generated, not something you got to do. You didn't do it in the first place. You received Him as Savior, and He's the one who keeps you. You don't even have to keep yourself. Well, think about it. What if you had to keep yourself in the righteousness of God? What if you had to keep yourself in what God wants you all? And if you messed up, you'd be out of luck. We'd all be out of luck. But He saves us and He keeps us by grace. And I'm grateful that those who receive Him become a child of God, available to everybody, and He wants us to come to Him. You've heard a poem called Humpty Dumpty Sat on the Wall? Well, this is a paraphrase of that. Jesus Christ came to our wall. Jesus Christ died for our fall. So that regardless of death and in spite of sin, through grace He might put us back together again. I like that. Through grace, He puts us back together again to everyone who will come. Aren't you glad you don't have to have a certain level of stuff? That no matter what our background is, no how close or far we've been from the Lord, if we'll come by grace, He'll put us back together. He'll forgive us. He'll restore us. He'll make us His own. What a wonderful gift that's available to every person. My prayer is that we'll be sharing Him with other people so they can get in on it. They can get in on who He is and what it means to know Him. I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus and I'm in on this grace. I want other people to know the same thing. And so we come to Jesus for the blessing of being God's chosen because He chose all who will choose Him. The next area is rejoice in the blessing of salvation God planned before creation. Rejoice in the blessing of salvation God planned before creation. In verse 4, the second part of verse 4, it said He chose us in Him in the first part of the verse, and it said, before the foundation of the world. You get that picture? You understand what this scripture passage is saying? God knew when He created the world, and then He made human beings, that He was going to have to save them. What does it say? When did God do that? When did God plan for the redemption and the salvation and the sending of His Son? Before the foundation of the world. It wasn't that we messed up and Adam sinned and others sinned. Now God said, I got to do something about all this. He saw ahead of time that this was going to happen when He put this world together and He put people on this world. He knew what they were going to do. And before the world ever began, God loved us enough to say, I'm going to take care of the need of those people that I'm going to make who are going to sin against me, who are going to disobey me, and I'm going to take care of it ahead of time before the world, my Son, is going to come. Jesus Christ is going to be there, even as He made the world and Jesus Himself involved in that creation. Jesus knew He was going to need to become one of those He was creating to die on a cross. Think about that. God planned for us, for our forgiveness and our salvation before the foundation of the world. Praise Your name, Lord. Thank You for doing that. The scripture on this, it says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in fear during a time of stay on earth, knowing that you are not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so your faith and hope are in God. Tell us, as we know Father, God is Father through faith. We are not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold, like stuff we can generate, whatever good deeds we can do. But we're redeemed with what? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. I hope that we don't ever take that for granted. I've heard that most of my life. But my prayer is I remember it cost Jesus everything. It cost Him His life on the cross in order for me to be saved and to know Him. That precious blood of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, who was known, foreknown, before the foundation of the world. Now, think about it. If you were God, would you create people that your son's got to die for? I don't know if I would. But God did. He put together this world and each of us and all the people knowing that before the foundation of the world, foreknown that Jesus Christ was going to shed his blood on the cross. He was going to take our sins in himself. He was going to experience feeling left alone by the Father and all our sin piled on him, and he's going to experience all of that. But he did it anyway. I tell you, that must mean God loves us. God cares about us. And so I want to say thank you, Lord, for doing that. He appeared, he said, for before the foundation of the world for that, but he's appeared in these last times, which is the time of Christ and since then, for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope in God. So I rejoice today in the blessings that God planned a long time ago, and I get in on it today. On the other side of your notes, live in the blessings of being holy and blameless before God. Live in the blessing of being holy and blameless before God. Again in verse 4, at the end of verse 4, it said that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. This to me is an awesome, almost unbelievable truth. That I get to live in the blessing of being holy and blameless before God. Do you ever stop and think about how God views you? I think the devil comes along and we mess up. We sin in some way. We disobey the Lord in some way. And he comes and he says, see, you're no good. You can't make it. You're not as good as you think you are. He comes and he makes us, he tries to help us think about how bad we are. Notice what this scripture says. In Christ. He chose us in him to be holy and blameless. In him. Let me read the scripture passage that's listed on your notes, which relates to the same thought. For it was God, the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, talking about Jesus, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Does that blow your mind, as the saying goes? He said, it was God's good pleasure for the fullness to dwell in him and to reconcile all things. How in the world could God count sending his son his good pleasure? But he did. Knowing what was going to come. And he said, we were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Does that include anybody in this building? Or does it include all of us? At some point, we didn't know Jesus, we were separated. That through his death in his fleshly body, through his giving himself on the cross, he's going to present us before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. That we would be that way. Now, how do we reconcile all that? Because you and I know we don't always live holy. We don't always live blameless. How in the world can God say in Christ that when we're in him, he can present us holy and blameless? The only way he can do that is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way he does it, how holy is Jesus? How pure is Jesus? He's ultimate. He's pure, perfect, holy, any description you want to make. So when you come to be born again of the Spirit of God and Jesus comes to live within you, you live in Jesus. And so when you come before a holy God, God sees the Son of God, the Holy One, in whom you live and who lives in you, and in him he declares you holy and blameless. I don't understand how in the world he does it, but the Bible says he does. And so today you can recognize I'm holy and blameless not because I have performed to a certain level. I do a lot of good stuff. I'm a good Christian. No. I'm holy and blameless because the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, I've received. He's come to live within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And by that Holy One, He says, you are holy. You are blameless. You are righteous. God credits the righteousness of Jesus to us who receive Him. If you don't receive Him, then you don't get the credit. You're still on your own. And you don't want to be on your own when it comes to holiness, because none of us will make it. You got to come to Jesus. So that we get to be holy and blameless before a holy God. I hope that you think about this. One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and end everything. He's going to gather everybody, and we're going to gather before the throne of God. Think about it. When you come before a holy God, and you know what your life has been like, but you're in the holiness of Jesus, and Jesus is going to say to the Father, you. Come on in. And He's going to say to the Father, this person's holy. This person's blameless. Because they know Me as Savior and Lord. Can you imagine standing before a holy God and that day comes? And it's coming. People don't think it will, but it's coming. And God's saying about each of you who know Him as Savior, as you stand before a holy God, God says, Marilyn, you're holy. Come on in, you're blameless. Doug, you're holy. Come on in, you're blameless. I hope you think about that. How awesome. How awesome it is that a holy God would put us into His Son and credit that to our life when we know we don't deserve it and we don't measure up and we'll never measure up. But we can live in that righteousness of Jesus. Don't let the devil put you down. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You can live that way. Holy and blameless. I don't understand God's doing that, but the Bible says He does. So, the next passage is in that section. I'll read. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which are yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So because we are, we live that way. We ask God to help us to live a holy, set apart, distinct life. He said, do not be conformed to the former lusts, what you were before you met Jesus. But like the Holy One who called you is holy, be holy in all our behavior. So because I am, not to get there, not to achieve it, but because I am, I want to live holy. I want to have a separated life. Now, when you live holy, when we seek to live holy before a holy God, what's that going to do as far as the world in general? When you try to live a life pleasing to God, distinctly fulfilled what you know He wants and as righteous as He wants and as like He wants you. I know we don't do it perfectly, but that's our goal. What's that going to do to the world around you? There's going to be two things, yeah. It'll make us different. Not because we want to be obnoxious, but because Jesus makes us different. And some people won't like that. But it also means we'll be a witness for Jesus because we're living a little different than the rest of the world. Here's my conviction. The more I live like Christ, the more I can influence other people to believe in Him because they see Him at work in me and see what kind of life I live and how much I enjoy living and how what the quality of my life is. I think they'll want Him. Does that mean everybody's going to want Him? No. Does that mean some people are going to fuss at you and criticize you for it? Yeah. That's all right. Did they criticize Jesus? So I guess if I belong to Jesus, I'm in the same boat as He was. That's okay. I'm on the right side. I know what track I'm on. I know who I belong to. So because I'm holy, I want God to help me live a holy life. That means it'll affect everything I do. Every place I go, every book I read, every TV program I watch, every movie that I watch. Every thought that I have, I ask God to help me. Is this holy or not? It'll change the way I think and what I do and don't do because the holiness of God is in me. It's not because we've got a set of rules. You can't do this, can't do that, and can't do that. It's because the Holy One lives in you and He says in your spirit,
do this and do this. And then he says, don't do this and don't do this. And we listen. And it changes the way we think. We are distinct people. And I want to be a distinct person, not because I want to be different, but because he who lives in me is different and I want other people to know who he is. So when he called on us, he said, in Christ we can be holy and blameless before the Lord. The next verse talks about that part of the blamelessness. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. So he said part of that is living blameless is to do all things without grumbling and fussing. What's that do to your home? What does that do to husbands and wives? What does that do to children and parents? What does that do to your neighbors? If you do anything without fussing and grumbling and complaining. He said you do that because you prove or you demonstrate that you're blameless before God. You're innocent, children of God, above reproach. In the midst of what? A crooked and perverse generation. Do we live in a crooked, perverse generation in the United States of America today? I believe it's getting, well, I was getting more, but I see it more. I see more crookedness and perverseness than I ever dreamed I would see in my lifetime. But notice what he said. We live holy and blameless for what purpose? Among whom you appear as what? Lights in the midst of the world. So because we seek to follow him and live in this holiness that God provides in Jesus, blameless before the Lord, and we live that way, we become light in the midst of this world. We begin to say, let me show you by my lifestyle how much Christ means to me, what difference he makes. Sometimes you don't feel like you're a very bright light. You don't feel like you're very important, or you don't feel like you touch off, you're not like Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or some of those people we know. Let me ask you, if it's dark, how much light does it take to give light? Think about it. If you have in your house a night light, which is some of those little old glow lights, I mean, but when it's dark, does it make a difference? So where does light need to shine? In the darkness. So it's okay for us to be among the crooked, perverse generation. That's where the light's needed. And I need to stand up, speak up about who Christ is and what he means, and live my life that way so that I can be a light to the kingdom of God, to the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again to make me holy and blameless because I am. I want to be a light in the midst of this world. So I want to live blameless. That is, I want my character, my relationships to be such that when people watch me, they don't have any reason to accuse me of something wrong. Now, I know we don't do it perfectly, okay? I'm not talking about perfection because we don't ever get that here. But there's enough distinction between us and the rest of the world that they can't blame us. They see us living, loving, caring, nurturing, doing all the things we do. So that we are light in the world. And the world has to say something different about you. And we have to tell them the difference is the light of the world named Jesus. And what he's done because he's made us that way. The last thing on your notes. Praise God for the blessing of the glory of his grace freely given in Christ. I don't think I gave you enough room to write all that in there if you're writing it in, so you must write on the margin. Praise God for the blessing of the glory of his grace freely given in Christ. In verse 6, he said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. There's that in him again. Aren't you glad God's grace is not dispensed by an eyedropper? He doesn't say, okay, you get a little bit. I'll let you get by with this a little bit, but the rest of it's on your own. That's what he said. He has freely bestowed on us his grace. Let me read the scripture passage. It says, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." Talked about sharing the grace in our own life, but also sharing the grace. So he said he wants to spread to more and more people that it can abound. There's to be a greater glory to God. What do you think it's going to be like when Jesus comes and all the saints gather around him? Is that going to be a wonderful time or not? Do you suppose we can increase the number of people who will be involved in that honor? Do you suppose you and I could share Jesus with somebody else, that there would be another person gathered around the throne because we talked about who Jesus is and we talked about how wonderful he is? I want to learn better and better how to declare and to talk about the glory of Jesus more and more so people see it in my own life and I talk about him. I'm convicted sometimes people say something about how are you, and I say, I'm fine. I wonder what happened if I started saying, you know, I'm blessed in Jesus and I'm delighted to have, I'm alive and God's touched me. No, no, some people think you're weird. But why not? I was reading something recently about telling our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren all that Jesus has done for us. What it means, what he's, how he's touched our life. We know the story, but I'm convicted. I haven't always told my family about how God's what he's done in our lives, how he's brought us to where we are today. We need to be telling the story. God in his grace saved me. Family put me in. I could go on and on about my own personal life. I won't do that. But do you have a story? How God in his grace has brought you to where you are this day that you could tell was to someone else. And you glorify and you magnify him. I like what somebody said, is bragging on Jesus, and that's always okay. Always okay to brag on how great he is. I don't have to talk about how wonderful I am, but God has been, Jesus Christ has made my life different. I'm so grateful for everything that happened to me, even before I became a believer in Christ, but since then especially. God's grace has touched my life over and over again. I want to tell that story. I want that to glorify him, magnify him. I'm here today by the grace of God. I'm here enjoying life like I do by the grace of God. Enjoying Pioneer like by the grace of God. Enjoying the trees even though some are dying. I still enjoy it. The people I get to work with. God by his grace allowed me to work here for almost 22 years. That's grace. I praise him. I praise him. And so what I think as we think about this, I want to be one who's praising God for the blessing of his grace freely bestowed in the beloved. I don't have to beg it out of him. I don't have to pressure him. He just pours it out. I like that. God just pours it out. God doesn't use an eyedropper. He uses, you know, 10-gallon bucket. He just pours it out. Or if you will, a fire hose. Doesn't he? He has touched us over. We have a lot to praise the Lord about. So when I read this passage in Ephesians, I hope it changes your lifestyle. To live in the holiness and purity of Christ, to live in the joy of Jesus, because he has done that, and that's who we are. The devil don't want you to believe this. The devil wants you to reject these truths that I just talked about, because he means you go around your head down and defeated and discouraged. But when you realize who you are in Christ and what Jesus is doing in you and what he's done for you and his grace in you, you can lift up your head and say, thank you, Lord, for all I've got. I'm nothing in myself, but he's everything. And I rejoice in how great Christ is and what my life is in him. He gets the credit. And I can go around with my head up and I'm praising God for who he is and what he's made me to be. And not only in this life, but I'm going to do it in future life. It's coming. So I hope you go home doing that. Live in the blessings. Rejoice in the blessings. Celebrate the blessings. Go over them. Remember them. Talk about them. Write them down. Think about them. And then ask God to help you tell them to someone else. Now, if you're here today and don't know Jesus, I want you to know something. You can know Jesus before you leave here today by receiving the Savior and Lord. He died for you. He wants to come in your life. If you'll invite Him in, He'll come in today. And He'll begin your life in these things I'm talking about. He'll make a new creation. He will change your life if you'll ask Him and surrender your heart and life to Him. He will do it. Because He said He would. And you can go home saying, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm holy. I'm blameless because of Jesus. Now, the rest of us, as you search your life, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to come to us and say to me, that's not holy. You ought not to be doing that. Sometimes He says, you ought to be doing this, and that's not holy. You need to get on with it. Does He ever do that? And so we need to say, okay, Lord, you're right. Forgive me, change me, help me get on leaving this off or adding this, whichever way it is. Because it's more a demonstration of who Christ is to the people around me. Because I am holy and blameless, so I'm going to live that way. And I'm grateful the Holy Spirit points it out when I'm not there. And that He does it so He can forgive me and change it so that I move on starting to do whatever it is I need to be doing or leaving off what I need to leave off. Aren't you glad God didn't slap us and say, out of here? He says, okay, let's change this. Let's start doing this. Let's leave this off, and I'll help you do it. He doesn't. Aren't you glad? He doesn't say, do all this. Now you go do it. No, He says, I'll help you. Through the Holy Spirit of God, I'll help you. So this day, my prayer is that we'll allow Him to do that. And today I pray that if you don't know Jesus, you'll let Him in before you leave here today. I pray you'll go home saying, hey, hallelujah. I'm saved. I belong to God. Jesus has saved me. I'm holy. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed because I came to Jesus. Not because of the church, not because of the preacher, but because of Jesus. In Him. We're going to stand together and sing. If you've given your heart to Christ, I invite you to come and tell me.